Later that night, after a fire and river rat stew, my good friend left me to rustle through his dry bag. When he returned, he was carrying in his left hand what appeared to be a handful of thickly bunched asparagus stumps with green leafy tops.
This will be good for star viewing. It's all organic. Cat, nature's amphetamine. I traded some KP for this shit with a group of Yemeni Weggers I met last month at the games.
KP, I asked?
Kentucky proud. Those Yemenis were nuts. They were worried about finding fresh cot in the States during the equestrian games. I know I wouldn't touch the stuff if it gets to market after 48 hours. So the fuckers just filled part of their jet with potted cot plants and parked it at the airport to harvest as needed. We ended up hitting it off, the Yemenis and I, so before they left, they gave me a couple of leftover plants as a parting gift of friendship.
I had spent much of my time during the games with Gordimer. His revelation about the Yemeni Weggers explained a number of heretofore inexplicable instances of his disappearance.
This one's for you,
he said, offering me the bundle. I cupped the cot in both hands.
Take the leaves, stuff them in your mouth, and chew them into a wad. Hold it like you would a chaw on your cheek. They're bitter, but Jesus, you'll thank me when we're on the water.
Moments later, I sit in my boat, a bunch of cot stuffed awkwardly between my legs, trying to feel my way past deadfall and shallow channels. I have been on creeks before at night when I have had to paddle directly into a full moon on the horizon. The feeling is unsettling. The moon's light and the light of its reflection off the water render you functionally blind. I have run into 10-foot-tall muddy creek banks without any foreknowledge, solely because I have forgotten to wear sunglasses while in the water at midnight. Paddling on the Jessamine this night, the picture is the opposite, an absence of moon and light, but the outcome is much the same, blindness. I drift too far right and ground myself on a shallow bed. Eventually, I break into less shallow water and float 10 minutes in complete black silence, letting the current take me to a light at the end of the tunnel, the Kentucky River. When I finally stream into the great river, the temperature, which has dropped steadily all night, stands somewhere around freezing. My mouth bulges with a cot wad. Coming upon the Kentucky from one of its feeder creeks is always an exercise in horizon raising. On a creek, one quickly becomes used to the intimate feel of shallow, twisty bends and overhanging trees. Flowing into the Kentucky from one of its creeks, one inevitably looks up at the open sky, at the opposite banks 150 feet across the river, at the Palisades a half mile in the distance. The feeling coming onto the Kentucky, at least initially, is always freeing. To come upon the Kentucky on a clear, windless new moon night with a mouthful of cot is something else altogether. I put up my paddles, lean back, and stare up at the night sky, the boat drifting slowly to the middle of the river. The world around me has turned light and dark, mostly dark. The line between Palisade and night sky, between earth, water, and air, is nearly indistinguishable. I drift quietly on the river's dark emptiness and note Orion's belt climb a distant Palisade, pointing its way to Taurus and Pleiades, the Seven Sisters. Without a paddle in the water, I become completely detached from the world. For a while, a long while, I feel as if I'm planing along the surface of the universe, unable to discern whether I'm traveling at 2 knots per hour on the Kentucky River or at 2 light years per second on a particularly clean belt of interstellar dust.
Never want to roam, let me stay in your mind. level of fire.